How great thou art. Now the other two sons, they took off to college already?
Yes.
One flew?
One's by train, one by plane.
One by train, one by plane. Oh, they don't miss church. I like that. Wherever you go, Minnesota, whatever the school, you come here, right here, every Sunday. Yeah, that's good, Daddy. All right, number 37.
Paying the flight bills.
Don't worry, it's in a credit card, you know, like pressing the mustache, everything is in credit. All right, 37. All right.
Thank you.
praise our God. We can say amen. All right, one more song because the section, closing section of Revelation tonight, it's a little longer. But I'm glad to finish with the churches, and I'm glad that in November, God's willing, coming Sunday, as you know, I'm Yosemite preaching to 400 men for 3 days. But when I start in November, the real McCoy starts, Revelation chapter 4. Where God unfolds history. And you will see how sweet and beautiful and simple it is when we discover the pieces that God puts on. In the meantime, one more song for the night. Tricia will have the song. Tell me.
264.
264. Tricia is getting pretty and pretty and pretty, so you need to buy a big rifle. 264. You know, it's important that the parents have a big rifle on the window. It's a boy come in and say, "Hi, how are you?" Show the rifle. And all right, 264. Thank you, Raquel, for your great service. Sunday after Sunday, silently beside me, playing the piano, correcting my tremendous voice. So it is a great joy to have a wife so patient like that. All right, may I encourage you to turn your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And for the last time, let's see if I understand all my notes here. And then if you need notes on Revelation 3, I'd be glad to send copies to you. I have all, whatever I preach, I have 7, 8, 9, 10 pages of notes in everyone. Then I write it in three lines in my Bible and try to work with you. All right, Revelation chapter 3. And the reading tonight is going to be on the last church. So must start in verse 14. Our Well done, reader. Brother Jack Kazanjian will read Revelation 3, verse 14 to 22. And we have a microphone right there by him so that you can hear it. This is the last church that God makes an observation, evaluation, and commentary.
And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, and write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with thy salve, for thou that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Thank you, Michael. To start then the study on the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and refresh your mind, chapter 1, is all presentation, has a preface and a cover letter. And the preface, I emphasize Revelation 1:1 very, very much, because I want you to relax when you are in Revelation. And do you remember my emphasis on the preface is Revelation 1:1. The book of Revelation is a revelation, not a mystery. I love that. You know, the book starts the revelation of Jesus Christ. And each time I hear or I read commentaries, many, many times, 80% of the time, they said, well, now we are heading on for a very mysterious book. Listen, either Bible said this is a mystery, is a mystery. Paul said many times that the mystery was revealed to me. That means when he was an unbeliever, the whole Bible is a mystery. All right? When you're an unbeliever, the entire Bible is a mystery. But when you get the grace of God upon you, no longer is a mystery and makes sense and is revealed. All right? And in the cover letter, a cover letter covers only one person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we really are ahead of this. And then we have the entire churches. Today we can show the entire churches showing over there. We've been in every one of them. Was it chapter 2 and chapter 3, a personal letter to the churches. And you remember that there is a church of Ephesus at the very beginning, was wary and well-doing. They lost their love for one another, their love for the Lord. The church of Smyrna was under pressure by the devil. I know where Satan lives, they said the scripture. But God don't say, the church is closed, get out, leave. God said, do not surrender. And then to the Pergamos, do not let the world come in. They were so famous and so popular, and the church was so large, but everything was a mixture of worldly things to be done. And Thyatira, check your curriculum. They were good people, but they let the teaching go. Sometimes good teaching, sometimes bad teaching. And that's why I'm jealous of the Sunday school material that we teach here. Because remember, to whom are these letters addressed? You remember? To the pastor of the church. A big why. Do you remember why? Because the pastor is responsible. Let me show you what the pastor has to do with you. Well, let's go for just 1 minute then, and we leave this quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you how difficult job a pastor have. I mean, it's really difficult. Making a commentary of the gift that God gave to people. In Ephesians 4:11, the Bible says that God gave some the gift of apostles, some of the gift of prophets. They are gone because in 2:21 said that the apostles and the prophets are the foundation. See? So you don't lay down the foundation all the time, all right? You lay the foundation only once. So, and evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what reason you got a pastor? Verse 12. For the perfecting or completion of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ. Until what level? Till all come to know the doctrine of Calvin. No, till all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning was a very tough sermon on the congregation of God, whether it's here or in the air, but it's true. God wants you to swim and not to go in shallow ground and have to speak it. Because that's the demands of God. Wait until we get the second chronicle on worshiping God on that Sunday, on the first Sunday, how Solomon worshiped God. So it's very important. These letters are made to the pastor. Sardis is wake up, remember? And Philadelphia, keep on being faithful. It was a faithful church. And what was the key in Philadelphia? Remember, it was love. They really loved each other. Remarkable. Now, tonight, we have Laodicea, all right? God has a message for them. You need to pursue to repent from your ways of doing things. So we're going to talk to the church of Laodicea. Chapter 3, verse 14 says, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea. So the ministry is held accountable for everything he is doing in the church. He is the one who's going to get the blame from God. He's accountable by Christ for the indifference and complacency of the believers. Imagine that. The minister is. I had to make a few calls this week to some members of the church that I don't see it, or I'd see them doing this and the other, and say, you know, this is not a nice call, but this is what I'm going to tell you. I have a meeting already this morning with some of these members of our church saying, no, Pastor, you read it wrong. But I'm watching. It looks like I'm, flowing around, but I'm watching. And when I see certain weakness, I go and talk to you because I'm responsible to this. And the church was responsible. Now, what's the city of Laodicea? Anybody know something about Laodicea, famous city in history? Number one, they had the first financial banking. That's what accountants would like it. There was a very prosperous city. When you have a lot of banks, there is a prosperity. Is that right? People investing money. And there has a clothing manufacturer, the largest clothing manufacturer. The clothing was made in this place and in the other. And then they manufactured the clothing and dress over there. And there was the first medical school that produced antibiotics for your eyes were in Laodicea. So there was a very prosperous, magnificent city, and there was a very remarkable city indeed. Now, the speaker, look at the speaker. Verse 14 says, unto the angel, unto the pastor of the church of Laodicea, the messenger, write, these things said he, said the Amen, that's number one, one name, the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of the world. Now, three names for the speakers. The first name is the Amen. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 20, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are ye, and in him are amen, to the glory of God. For all the promises of God in him. Who's in him? is Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. All the promises of God in Jesus are yeah, and in him are amen, unto the glory of God by us. What means amen? Means so be it, means also very, verily, truly, truly, I agree. In Christ Jesus, everything is true. So, amen refers to the Lord Jesus. Now, he is the faithful and the true witness. If you go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs, in chapter 14 and in verse 5, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 5, say, a faithful witness with no lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Now, what do you get from this statement that he is the faithful witness? What is it? What is he saying? That Christ Jesus will not lie, will never lie. So that's got to be God, all right? Got to be God. So the speaker is the one to everything he said comes true, and he will never lie. And then he said is the beginning of the creation of God. Now, you study the book of Revelation in John, and let's see, some of you can pick up the pieces in John 1, verses 1 to 3. He's the beginning of the revelation of the creation of God. And in other words, the speaker was there at the creation. Brother Plika, will you be kind to read for us John Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and Gregory is assisting you with the microphone so the people on the internet can listen to your voice. All right, now it's on. Okay, good.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
All right. What that tells you, those three verses? Russ, what that tells you? Russ teaches John and the young couples class. So tell me, Russ, what that it is.
That means that Jesus was there. God used Jesus to fill everything.
Yeah, God gave Jesus to be everywhere because he is God and with him. And if you go your eyes in verse 14, because in verse 1 said the Word was with God. And verse 14 said, and the Word became flesh. And we know in Philippians 2, verse 5, that he humbled himself. He was in the form to become in the form of man, the one who was God. And so, remarkable, the speaker is Jesus and the completeness and then the fullness of God. When Jesus is speaking, it's not just a prophet is speaking. When Jesus speaks, this Arab speaker in Virginia today in the television early in the morning said the most difficult thing for him was in conversion to accept that Jesus Christ is God. See, Muhammad is not God. Why Jesus Christ is God? But when he came to that view, then everything fit together, he said. And he was, you know, like an Arab speaking. And Jesus is God. And God. I think Hannah is on that class in Virginia. And I said, boy, Hannah really got it today. Okay. It's good. Jesus is God. So the speaker is God talking. No argument when God speaks. Is that right? When you open your Bible, you're going to have an argument with God. You maybe have a question about what God said, but not an argument with God. Whatever the Bible said is what it is. Now, some people, to accommodate the Bible to themselves, what do? Compromise, but they do something with the Scripture. They twist it. They said, well, you see, here is this, but means this other. All right? Okay. Now, don't panic. We go to the next one. The speaker. All right? Here it is. Now, the first thing that is said to the church is the complaint. Like a God come to Bethel, it has a complaint. Verse 15. I know thy works. Oh, I know your activities, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would were cold or hot. God is saying, I know that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. That's what God is saying. All right? So here's the complaint. They were neither cold nor hot. How you call that in today's vocabulary? Washy-washy or whatever, you know? washy-washy, all right? And here it is. They were half-hatered. In other words, they have half a heart for the ministry. Look at, in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 9, and in verse, I think it is 23. Luke Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 23. Look at what the Scripture says. And he said to them, Jesus talking, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself or herself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You got the idea? What being neither hat nor call means? Jesus saying, if you say you are a Christian, if you say you want to follow the Lord Jesus, if you say you're going to do something like that, what did Jesus said here in Luke Gospel 9:23? You have to do something. What is it? No. Deny yourself. That's the hardest thing to do. Is that right? Deny yourself. I like to have a Mercedes-Benz, but if I do that, my payment will take part of my tithe to the church. So therefore, I will not have a Mercedes-Benz for that purpose. You deny yourself. I could buy a Mercedes-Benz, but can give a wrong signal to the congregation, so I will not buy a Mercedes-Benz. That's denying yourself. You know, that's something that you learn with Jesus. You deal with him heart to heart, and when you please him, believe me, you'll be the most happy man and woman you ever are in this earth. That's very important, all right? They were, they follow the Lord with a half heart. They were indifferent. Let's go to Romans 12. You know this passage, Romans 12, in verse 1, in verse 2. I read it, and I ask Russell what that means, all right? Here it is. See, Russell is right straight in my face, so I can look to him, okay? Here we are. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not a living beauty, you know, a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Russell will start speaking, and then everybody will make comments. Okay, Russ?
I would say that we are a changed person. We have a new heart, and so we are to live holy unto God, and only we could do this if we have that new heart.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. We need to be a changed person. The Bible called that a transformed person. When I have a lot of friends who are reformed in their doctrine, and say, we are reformed, and you are transformed. I'm a transformer. Remember the time that with the transformer, you have a little car, and you work it with your hand, and you have a robot or something like that. Remember, you had that when you were little? Yeah, I think you did. Okay, a transformer, remember? We're a transformer, all right? Somebody else want to make a comment on that. See, the complaint was that they were not called, they were not transformed. They were reformed, yes, but not transformed, see? The issue is being transformed. And what? Look in those verses. What transformed you? Look in those verse 2, tell you what transformed you. What is it? Romans 12:2 tells you what transformed you.
Being holy.
Being holy, and there is something you have to renew. What is it? You renew your mind. With what? What they said? Renew? Okay, look at it in verse 2. Yeah, renewing your mind that ye may prove what is good. In other words, you renew your mind. And say, I did things in this way, but if God said this in this way, I'm going to do it God's way and see what happened. And then God said, prove me, try me, do what I said. You know, I keep telling people, if you want to save your money for yourself so that you have it for tomorrow and not giving to the church, you are a fool. You're a fool. I never save a penny for myself. I give it all what I have to give and trust the Lord for tomorrow. It never failed me. As a matter of fact, he gave me more than what I needed. I worked for it. And when things were cut off, God supplied. You, the church, supplied to me. Was very kind. I never will forget. When the church voted to raise my salary because I lost the radio. I get emotional about it. It's only you were the instrument that God used.
And I will not die if I don't have the salary. But the Lord, the church was extremely overwhelming. And my good friend, Mr. Campy, can take it. He said, oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah, it's unbelievable. When you trust the Lord, it's unbelievable. Because in America, the rich trying to manipulate the other guy. And I will not let nobody manipulate me. I don't care how much money they offer. Truth is truth. We can disagree. We can be friends. We can drink a cup of coffee. But truth is truth. See? But see, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. It is good. Oops. Hey, come on. Don't be like that, computer. Okay. And they were complacent. Look at what Acts 1:8. They were no hot, no cold. Look at you know by memory Acts 1:8, don't you? After you have the Holy Spirit have come upon you, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you should be my martureos. Martureos in Greek means the one who is. What word comes from martureos? Martureos. What English word is close? Martyr, you will be my martyrs first in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, then in Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. You see it? And what that text means? They were half-hearted. There was a nice packed church, very comfortable church. They were all nice and good-looking, and everybody came to church and went to home and back to church and so on. What was lacking in that church? Witness, evangelism. Now, when Brother Greg sent me an email, well, that's the way we communicate, chat or email, back and forth during the day, many times a day. He said that by an overwhelming majority in the church wants to go. But I told him no more Bible distribution until next year. I don't want to put a burden on you. And he said an overwhelming request that we should go on the 31st, the last Sunday of the month that we don't have evening service. We should go again to the neighborhood and put Bibles. We put already 100 and something, no? 120, 130 Bibles in their homes. And I don't want to put you a burden to go again. It's an overwhelming request. Now, my heart went, I'm a $1 million pastor. The people of the church, without me telling, want to go and put a Bible in each one of these homes. I tell you, God is going to bring people from this neighborhood here. This morning we have two people from the neighborhood, Jeff Lamb, who lives close by here, Christina, a lady who was sitting in the middle of the third time, lives in the other side of the freeway. I tell you, they wrote me a nice note. And I tell you, and both want to be members of this church. They cross in the back. So I want to call them and tell them that there's a $10,000 deposit, something like that. It's not just fantastic. I mean, it is wonderful. But if you don't have intention, you go half, oh, the church is full, we are okay, the money is okay, why should we worry? God said, go all the way. You have all the money supply, you have this, but he's interested in evangelism, don't he? If somebody was not interested in evangelism, then we would never be saved. Somebody pray for you. Somebody pray for me. My cousin pray for me. Now is in heaven. Ishmael, he prayed for me. I say, hey, go home. Church is for those people who are very old, 60 and up. I was wrong. But you see, somebody pray for you. And now you are here. All right, we go to the next one. All right, the warning, verse 16 and 17. Revelation 3 is a warning. Look at verse 16. It's very serious. So then, because thou art lukewarm, that means you are halfway, are neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. You know what that means? You're unwanted. When you have some food, and sorry, I'm going to give you this picture, some food that you taste, oh, I don't like that. What do? You spit the food out, all right? I remember I did that, and my mother go, phew! Oh, I did it many times. I did my brother like this. He said, you do it first. You know, see, he hit first, you know. Oh, we were terrible. Don't worry, Anthony. But you know what I mean? You take some food, and my mom said, you have to eat the leather. You have to eat broccoli. Oh, my dog, Qual, was there. My mother saw that. Why? I don't want the broccoli. And if you are halfway a Christian, God don't want you either. You see that? Say, so I'm going to speak. You're never there. So then, here's the reason. Verse 17, look at here. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good. Oh, I have made more fortune. And have everything I want. See? There are two reasons. One, you said, you felt self-sufficient. Is that right? I have everything I need, so why should I worry and learning more about God and being more faithful to God? I have every supply I need. I don't have to worry about it. Is that right? You are self-sufficient. You don't need God anymore. It just goes to socialize in church. Now, nobody who sits here socialize. Tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, I have an appointment with a young student who was here and visiting, wants to learn more before going to David University. Learn more about this business of commitment. Isn't that fantastic? Brother Leo brought his older granddaughter. He said, my grandma told me about the Lord. He said, and now I'm telling my children, and I grabbed them before I go to school, and I brought it here. And now, he said, I'll be there tomorrow with you, Pastor. It's just amazing. Amazing. All right? They felt self-sufficient. All right? And look at what's going to happen. God's going to spell you out. And verse 17 said, and knowest not that thou art wretched. What that means, wretched? I look at the Greek word, you can believe what that means. What do you think, wretched? You're wretched. What does that mean? Miserable. In disgrace. That's the Greek word. In disgrace. That means you don't have the grace of God. You're in disgrace and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You mean those people were naked? What does that mean, naked? No righteousness. No righteousness. You know, they were poor and they were blind and they were blind mentally. They saw they were mentally blind. All right. Tufos is the word. And they were naked. They have no cover of themselves. And you need to have a covering before. Remember the parable of the banquet? Everybody to go to a wedding need to have a covering. And there was one man without the robe. And what happened? When the man who directed the party came in, he said, hey, this guy do not belong here. And in heaven, we cannot go with the cover of our own righteousness. We have to go with the covering of God's righteousness. And that's why God is so mad. They were pitiful, poor, they were mentally blind, and they were without the robe of righteousness that the book of Isaiah speak of, all right? So that's the warning. Be careful, all right? Now here's a counsel. I love always when God counsel, all right? Chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold fire in the fire. A spiritual gold. Let's go to Matthew 6 in verse 20. First thing they have to do is to buy a spiritual goal. Matthew 6 and verse 20. Look at what the scripture says about those who are rich. But lay up for yourself treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through, nor steal. And so you need to buy, said the book of Revelation, excuse me, gold try in the fire. That is in heaven. Verse 18, buy a spiritual clothing. Look at verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold try in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Now, white raiment, again, we go to Isaiah 61 in verse 10. Isaiah 61 in verse 10. All right. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Say Isaiah 61 and verse 10. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Now, as a bridegroom. Now, God covered me with two garments. Salvation and righteousness. What it means, righteousness? That's a German word, put it in English, just like German sound. Righteousness means I'm a righteous person before God. That means justified. That's the word justified in English. But in the Old English, righteousness was accepted from the Anglo-Saxon. And so you need to have the counsel is put the cover of God righteousness. Don't try to say we don't need anything. We are okay. We are the best. We are the largest church. We are the most benevolent people. We are this, we're the other. Don't do that. Cover yourself with the only gift you have. Jesus saved me. And he's righteous and I'm in him. All right? And then by spirituals, antibiotics, we call these. Look at it in Revelation 3:18 said, I counsel thee to buy me gold, try and fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with a slave. That's the first time that word appeared, because that was an antibiotic prepared right there in the city of Laodicea. That thou mayest see. In other words, you need to have a spiritual antibiotics. And I'm going to look for you in John chapter 1 in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Spiritual antibiotics for your eyes. You need Christ Jesus. Some people say, well, if I study Greek and Hebrew, do I understand more of the Bible? No, sir. You need to have the Holy Spirit. You need to be saved in order to understand the Bible. You need to be saved in order to understand the Bible. Now, I keep saying, I listen to Father Colari, John Colari from Santa Cruz. He's now no longer a father in a congregation. I don't know how long the church will have him, but he's still holding to some doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church. But when he preaches, he tells the congregation, you're all bunch of dead. You really don't understand what I'm saying to you. Shame on you. Boy, they're going to kick him out. He comes in channel 422 on the satellite. And he comes usually at 10 o'clock in the night and they put it at 2 o'clock in the morning. And the guy is so good. He's young. He's about 55 or so. And he said, I'm sick and tired. People saying, I'm Catholic, like Kerry. You know, I'm Catholic. What that mean? He said. Has God changed you? You know who I said that? He looks like Pastor Otero, yielding to people. It's just amazing. I wrote him an email, and he agreed to have a lunch with me soon. He will tell me when. I had to ask him some doctrines that I read in his email. But he said, I talk to anybody. So I said, I'm a pastor of a Baptist church, and I'm impressed what God has done in your life. And he wrote to me. He said, God has saved me. He said, from drugs, from homosexualism, from all kinds of junk. And I want to pass this on. It's not the church, it's God. And then he goes, you have to be baptized, you have to do this and the other. So we need to have patience with people like that. But I tell you, he told in the congregation, rather than being scared, they applaud him like he's a great entertainer. It's just amazing when people are blind what they do. So he said, what's the matter with this computer? He said to the congregation, how are we going to have these things? Focus in what is important. Verse 19, see? Focus. As many as I love, I'm going back to Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be jealous, therefore, and repent. Now, remember in Hebrews 13, the Bible said that as a father, what? Chastise his children. They say, what kind of father will you be if you do not chastise your children, or correct your children, or discipline your children? So God, as a father, discipline us. And so verse 19 is telling me, focus on what is important. If God chastise you, if God put a red sign in front of you, then it's for something. Now we're going to the hospital. We're going to visit Mary's mother, Stella. And we go in, I don't know, every hospital, I've been so many times here, I just walk in with Raquel, and they say, stop it. There's a big sign over there, stop, in red. So I said, what's going on? So I said to the nurse, what's happened to the person? He said, it's a bacteria, you have to put this on. See, it's a red sign here in verse 19. I love you. That's what I rebuke you, all right? It's very, very, very important then to listen to God's message to us. When God is speaking to you. And then have fellowship with Christ Jesus. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. See, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. And you know, each time you read the Bible, God is knocking in your heart. Each time you read the Bible, God is knocking there, speaking there. Now, please, don't let the Bible, if a verse in the Bible embothers you, if a verse in the Bible really got your attention, don't let it pass. Pay attention to it. Pray about it. Then you have fellowship with God. And that's what he said, have fellowship with Christ. Talking to believers. It's not a text for unbelievers to open the door. It's a text for believers to really pay attention to what God is saying. Then, here is the promise, verse 21 to 22. The one who overcomes shall sit upon the throne of Christ. Verse 21. To him that overcome will I grant to sit with me in my throne. All right? So, you, like Jehovah's Witness said, when you die, you die. Remember, I had that lady beside me on the plane, and she was disturbing me with a pillow, and I told my wife everything I can say about how ugly this Americano was, and then when Raquel had to go to the restroom, Raquel was on the window, said, excuse me, I said, hey, excuse me, she said, sí, señor, pase como no, she knew Spanish, she knew everything I was saying. And then she started talking about death. And she said, you know, if you die, that's it. Oh, that's true. I said, that's true. But not with me. He said, well, why? He said, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. So I'm a Christian too, but you die anyway. What's the penalty of sin? What you started this afternoon. What's the penalty of sin? And they go to Romans 6:23. You know, the penalty is the wages of sin is death and so on. But look at what the Bible says here. To him that overcome, I will grant to sit up with me at my throne. Those people ignore Ephesians 4, verse 6, who said we are seated together with Christ Jesus in heaven already. All right? So here is what it is. We will sit with God. Let's go to Matthew 19 in verse 28, because he's talking about the throne of God, and I love that. Matthew 19 and verse 28 is just extraordinary what God has to say. Matthew 19, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily, I say unto you, or amen, amen, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the generations when the Son of God shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon the 12th throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. No retirement in heaven. You're going to be working for God and doing the work of God in heaven. And so this is very important. We will sit with God in heaven. What that means two things. We shall rule and reign with Christ, and we shall have responsibilities in heaven. And you're going to see it as we develop Revelation, the responsibilities of the believers and the different stations of the new heaven that God is creating. And it's just remarkable, you see. It's just extraordinary. Your life have not begun yet until you are with the Lord. It's not that beautiful? And then I have to say the $4 million question. Do you hear what God is saying? Look, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Do you mean those people that don't have ears that he talked to? Here is the decree. Let's go to John 10 in verse 4. You know, in John 10, Jesus is the good shepherd. And in verse 4, he says, and when he, the good shepherd, put forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they hear his voice. So, Brother Greg is correct. You need to have a spiritual ear. He who has an ear, do you hear him? Do you know what God is saying? Now, a lot of people who come to church or who maybe listen to you as you talk to them, they hear it, and they put it away. So they are really not penetrating. They are not hearing. But we who are Christians, we hear it. And may God really bless us. There will be a church that hear God. Suppose that we are doing something wrong. And the deacon board says, well, I know we're doing this. This is wrong, but we like it. We approve it. Is that correct? No, that's not correct. Do we hear him? Is it we will do something wrong, but we will correct it. We will correct it. We have missionaries, and as long as those missionaries were doing something good, we help it. But when they did wrong, we have the most difficult task in my life with my wife to go and correct it and take a missionary out of our board of missions. It's hard. It's difficult. But it's necessary because we need to do what God said. Well, may God help us that these seven churches, you write in your home a little note on the top of each seven churches to see what they are doing and check the Betel will follow through. We're never going to be perfect, but we need to be always making corrections and doing the thing that is right. The best thing to check is that we always have a mind for evangelism, not here only in the pulpit, but there on the street as we go out and present it. I told Anvir this morning as I met with her, what she is doing, and she said, she showed me the ministry, and I said, Anvir, every ministry in the world needs to be done by the church. And if you're doing this, they have to be approved by the church. And now I know what you're doing. You are not a loose island. And poor Anvir, she was crying. She said, I'm doing something wrong. No. You just talk to me, and I help you. Now, when you leave the place on the teacup, tell the people, will you like my pastor? I don't care where you go. I don't care where it is. You tell, will you like my pastor to come here and pray? And those elderly people would. So I said, then I go and follow you up. We want to support you. You're not alone. You are with us. Learn to work as a body. You know, it's hard to make something like that. But it's beautiful when a believer said, Pastor, I said, yeah, I know you have a great heart, a marvelous heart, and we want to encourage you. You need a whole support. See, you are not an island. See, that's what's so bad with some people who have learned, oh, there is no church. Then they're an island, and they do what they want. Nobody supervises them. Nobody corrects them. It's very bad. It's satanic. It is satanic. So I tell you, you belong to the church of God. And if we are doing something wrong, we ask God. You saw the churches. So you ask God for sorry. And you start all over again. God's not going to throw you out. How blessed. I tell you, I finished this series on chapter 2 and chapter 3 happy. The church of God is alive and is good and has its rules and regulations and observations that we must follow. That's all. Praise God. Thank you, Father, that we belong to your church until you come. And one day you will take us into the very heaven. We thank you and thank you, Father, that in there in heaven we're not going to be dormant and ghosts. We're going to be ourselves working for you, directing whatever ministry you will have for us. Thank you, Lord. It is encouraging to see that you do not reject the church only when the church wants to be stubborn and do not repent. Lord, give all of us in Bethel a heart of repentance. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.